Praise God. Last week I was fired up. Last week the Holy Spirit was fired up. I put in that CD to listen to it again, and right from the get-go, it's like I was just fire. It was just fire. And man, it really blessed me, and it's something that God had been showing me. And so what we talked about last week was two systems in the world. There's two doctrines in the world. And if you didn't hear last week, I encourage you to get it, because it's kind of laying the path to where we're going to go today. But there's two doctrines in the world. And one of the doctrines is that you are not like Christ. You must become like Christ through behavior modification. And that doctrine is derived from the law. And what it says is that you are not like Christ. You must become like Christ through your works and your good deeds. And that system is from Satan. Now, I'm not saying that the law and the commandments are from Satan. I'm saying using the law and the commandments to become like Christ is from Satan. Okay, and then we have the other doctrine, which is really the only doctrine, which is Christ's doctrine. And Christ's doctrine says, turn your back on the system that says you are not like me, you must become through the law and the commandments. Reject the system that says you are not like me, you must become like me through your good deeds and your works. Christ's doctrine says, reject the system of works and believe on me and the fullness of what I have done, and I will make you become like me. For I have performed the work to make you like me on the cross. And so that's basically what we talked about last week. And I got to thinking, and I started thinking, why is it so difficult for us to avoid eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? And, you know, the system that says you're not like Christ, you must become, that's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And I started asking the Lord, why is it so difficult for us to avoid doing that? And recently in my own life, I'm a grace preacher, and I've been studying grace for a lot of years. But the first few months that I'd been living here, I found symptoms of the law in my life, even though I knew grace. You see, I hadn't turned back and said, well, I no longer believe that I'm justified by grace, but I noticed symptoms of the law that were working in my life. And some of these symptoms are discouragement, frustration, and condemnation. And I started asking God, why was that going on? What was going on in my life? And I got to believe it was happening to me. It happens to other people. And if it doesn't, then praise God, I'll be the one listening to this message all week. But, you know, what he told me is that oftentimes believers get caught up into the system of I am not, I must become, because we want to see a greater manifestation of the fruits of righteousness in our life. And if we don't see the manifestation of the fruits of righteousness in our life, we start thinking, I am not, I must become. And if we don't see a greater manifestation of the power of the Holy Spirit in our life, we immediately start thinking, I am not, I must become. Because all believers want to see a greater manifestation of the fruits of righteousness, don't they? They want to see it in their life. And all believers want to see a greater manifestation of the power of the Holy Spirit manifesting in your life. But if we're not careful, there's a subtle trap there. Because what can happen is we can get caught up thinking about the fruit and not thinking about the root. And when you get caught up into that, you can become frustrated and discouraged. And then you start feeling condemnation. Why do I not have this fruit in my life? Why do I not have a greater manifestation of the Holy Spirit in my life? And then all of a sudden, boom, you're under the law. And you don't know what's going on. And you're like, I know I'm justified. I know I'm righteous by what Jesus did. Why am I under the law? That's what I started thinking. And it's so easy to fall back into this, I am not, I must become. So praise God, that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about the fruits of righteousness and what produces fruit so we can get a better understanding of this. Because I think a lot of believers go through this and they wonder, what's the deal? And they end up frustrated and think, what's going on? The fruits of righteousness, first of all, I'm just going to give a little background into what that is. The fruits of righteousness is not just God living out of you where you think you're living more holy. The fruits of righteousness is that you have healing operating in your life, that you have patience operating in your life, that you have joy operating in your life, that you have peace operating in your life, that you have contentment operating in your life. That's the fruits of righteousness. Everything that Christ died on the cross for us to have, those are the fruits of righteousness. It isn't just that you'll start living right. That's not what it is. The fruits of righteousness is that I will be well. The fruits of righteousness is that I will have peace. The fruits of righteousness is that I will have a greater manifestation of the Holy Spirit flowing out of my life. Praise God. That's what the fruits of righteousness are. And I think we all want that. And you know what's awesome? God wants that for the church too. It's not like we don't want some. We want something that he doesn't want. And he did something so that could flow out of our lives. So that's what we're going to talk about today. And we'll carry on with Eve because we were looking in Genesis. And so we'll just take a picture of this and to get to where we're going. But remember, we're talking about Eve. And Eve ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the first thing she believed was, I am not like God. I must become like God. And so Genesis chapter 3, verse 6 says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So when I look at this verse, I see something that started happening after Eve decided that she was not like God, she must become. She started focusing on the fruit. She started looking at the fruit of the tree and determining the fruit. And so this word food up here, the Hebrew word for that word food can also be translated fruit. And in this instant, I think it's more accurate to translate it fruit because she's talking about the fruit of the tree. Okay, so what I see that Eve did was she looked at the fruit and she said, I think that fruit can cause me to prosper. I think that fruit can bring forth blessings into my life. And what she did was she became focused on the fruit. You see? And she started seeing the fruit. And you know, God started telling me that one of the issues with the Word of Faith movement, and I came from the Word of Faith movement, so I'm not against them. I got a lot of places listening to some of their teaching, and they helped me get to this place. But one of the things about the Word of Faith movement is we become fixated on the fruit and not the root. We think so much about the fruit that we're not thinking about the root. And the second we get trapped into this cycle of thinking about fruit, what fruit we have, what fruit we don't have, we're left thinking, how can I get that fruit? How can I get more fruit? How will that fruit be produced in my life? How can I get the Holy Spirit to manifest in my life? How can I get the fruits of righteousness to manifest in my life? And you know, right away when you do that, you're back to eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And you're thinking about the fruit that you think you don't have and that you want. And you're no longer thinking about Christ and what he did, but you're thinking about the root or the fruit. You're thinking about the fruit that you want to see. And the ironic thing is that's what keeps the fruit from manifesting, is this tendency of ours to judge the fruit we have in our life. Isn't that what we do? We look around and we see the fruit that we have manifesting in our life, and then we determine where we're at with God. We determine what's going on. That's what the trap that we can fall into, judging the fruit that we see in our life. God does not want us judging the fruits of righteousness manifesting in our life. He doesn't want us meditating on the fruits of righteousness that we maybe don't see manifesting in our life. He wants us meditating on the finished work of Jesus. That's what he wants us meditating on. And so if we fall into this trap of just thinking about the fruit we maybe don't see yet that we want to see, if we fall into this trap of thinking about, I want to see the Holy Spirit manifest more powerfully, and I'm not seeing it yet, if we fall into that, we're toiling again. Now we're toiling to bring the fruits of righteousness to pass. Now we're toiling to bring the manifestation of the Holy Spirit to pass. And we're no longer in rest, is what happens. We're not operating in rest. We're operating in works again. And I think it's Matthew 6, chapter 28, says, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither work, they neither toil, nor spin. You see, the lily of the field does not toil or work to bring forth its flower. It does not do anything to bring forth the fruit that it's going to bear. You see, and that's how God created us to be. He did not create us to bring forth the fruits of righteousness. He did not create us to bring forth the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And this is what we get trapped into. And straight away, we're eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil again, and we're telling ourselves, I do not have the fruits of righteousness that I want. I must get. How can I get? How can I get? Now you're meditating on how to get it. Now you're toiling. Now you're right back into works. And then you become frustrated. You become discouraged. And then you feel condemned all over again. Guys, this just happened to me within the last 6 or 7 months because I couldn't figure out what the disconnect was. And the disconnect was is that I had gotten moved off of rest because I was thinking about the fruit. You see, I was thinking about the fruit, and God wants us to be free from that. And when you become free from thinking about the fruit, a greater manifestation of the fruits of righteousness will start pouring out of your life. When you become free about thinking about how can the Holy Spirit manifest itself more powerful in my life, it will start manifesting more powerfully in our lives. Because that's the law. It's the law to think about how do I make these things happen. That's what the law says to do. So just like the lilies, consider the lilies. How they neither toil, they don't work, and they don't spin to produce their fruit. Praise God. And the thing about the church, and we talked about this, but we all want a greater manifestation of the fruits of righteousness. We all want that. And so it's not bad to want that to flow out of our lives because God wants us to have that. But the question is, what causes the fruits of righteousness to be produced in our lives? What causes a greater manifestation of the fruits of righteousness and the Holy Spirit in our lives? So we're gonna talk about the fruit that's produced and the origins of the fruit so we can get a clearer cut picture of this. Praise God. And you know, the message we gave last week, you know, the Holy Spirit told me that the message we gave last week is the key to freedom and rest in our lives, to realizing that we're not trying to become, we already are. So now we're going to talk about why we already are, and we're going to come against one of the traps we could fall into. And man, I love the book of Romans, and even just recently after I did the Romans Bible study, God started connecting more dots for me. But we're going to go to Romans chapter 5, verse 20 and 21. You guys are going to be blessed by this. This is so awesome. When we get through these scriptures, praise God. Romans chapter 5, verses 20 for 21. It says, "Moreover, the law entered, that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." So what we have here is Paul is describing two systems. He's describing two kingdoms. He's describing a kingdom that's based on law, and he's describing a kingdom that's based on grace. And he's describing the fruit that comes from each kingdom. He says the kingdom of law will produce fruit, and the kingdom of grace will also produce fruit. So he's going to start getting into that fruit in these verses, and he's going to start talking about what that fruit is, and he's going to start talking about how the fruit is produced. But, you know, something about kingdoms is that they reign. And when a kingdom reigns, there's certain characteristics or traits that are consistent with each different kingdom. You know, we're a grace church, so our preaching is going to be characteristic of a reign of grace, okay? If there's a communist country, their government is going to be characteristic of a communist reign. Okay, so what we know is there are things that are very specific to the reign of certain kingdoms. So there are things that are very specific to the reign of law and the reign of grace. And that's the fruit that Paul's talking about. So in verse 20, he says, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." The law entered that sin might abound. That's what that word offense means. It means sin. The law entered that sin would abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So right off the bat, we see that sin and death, they're the fruit of the reign of the law. Sin and death are a fruit of the reign of the law. Sin and death reign through the law. So the law produces sin and death. You know, God gave the law. When the law was given, he gave it to increase sin. You know, that shocks people when they hear that. But look right here. It says, "Moreover, the law entered that sin might abound." When God gave the law, it was to increase sin. It was to multiply sin. That's why he gave the law. And people think, well, why would he do that? The reason why he did that is so we would see our inability and then grab on to the Savior. We would see our inability and believe on Jesus Christ, believe on what he did on the cross. That's why he did this. But what else he's saying here is that sin and death are a product of a system called law. And notice what else he says, that righteousness and eternal life, they're the fruit of a system called grace. Grace produces fruit that is consistent with righteousness and eternal life. The law is a system that produces fruit that is consistent with sin and death. Are you guys seeing that in verse 20? Does everybody see that? So he's breaking down the fruit. What tree produces what fruit? The tree of law produces sin and death. The tree of grace produces righteousness and eternal life. And look what he says here. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. You know, too many Christians think that sin is greater than grace. Too many Christians think that sin can overcome grace. It's like they think sin can get into a boxing ring with Jesus and duke him out. They think he could take him out. You know, and you know what the law is to sin? And this is funny, but, you know, God showed me this yesterday, that the law is to sin what spinach is to Popeye. The law is to sin what spinach is to Popeye. You guys ever watch Popeye? He's real weak, he's not real strong, and then he eats spinach, and next thing you know, he's a Superman. Well, that's what was going on with sin. Sin was dead, and the law gave it life and made it strong and big and powerful, and it increased it and multiplied it. That's what the law did. You know, and the law is steroids for sin. The law juices up sin. It's what it does. But hallelujah, look what Paul says. But where sin increased, where sin became strong, where sin became mighty, grace did become much more mighty. Grace did become much more strong. That's what he's teaching here. You know, and I used to watch this commercial, and it was real funny. And, you know, it's a corny joke, but whatever, I like it. But the commercial was a commercial for Battleship. And, you know, partway through the commercial, somebody would come in and say, "You sank my battleship." You know, and if sin and grace were playing Battleship, sin would have to confess, "You sank my battleship." You see, grace has sunken the battleship of sin. That's what Paul's teaching here, that grace has sunken the battleship of sin. Why did it do this? So that it could end the reign of law. It could end the reign of sin. You know, sin is a product of the reign of law. Sin is a product of the kingdom of law. If you want to remove sin, you remove the law. That's what you do. That's how you remove sin. You remove the law. Okay? If you want to defeat sin, you bring in grace. If you want to overcome sin, you bring in grace. That's how you do it. Praise God. And this verse doesn't have a whole lot to do with it, but I'm going to cover it because what happens is we read some of these verses in Romans and we get real excited because we think we read something that sounds good and then we read something that we think sounds real bad. And then it's like, you know, you're laying in bed and somebody took a bucket of cold water and just threw it on you. And you're like, oh no, now I'm back under condemnation. So Paul just explained how we were under the reign of law, and that reign of law produced sin and death. And then he explained how grace came in and superabounded over the kingdom and the reign of sin, and it produced righteousness and eternal life. So look what he says. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? The only way to continue in sin is to continue under the reign of the law. The only way to continue in sin is to continue under the law. That's the point Paul's making here. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And what does he say? Certainly not. He says it because it's an impossibility. It's impossible to continue in sin once the law is removed. That's what he's saying. He's saying you can't continue in sin because sin was a product of the law. And once the law is removed, sin is removed. Sin can only reign through the law. So it's impossible to continue in sin when you're under grace. You can't. You can't continue in sin. It's not possible. And he's talking about the fruit of the law, which is sin and death. You cannot continue in the fruit of sin and death unless you continue under the law. And he just explained how grace had superabounded over the sin. So we cannot continue under the kingdom. It's not possible. Praise God. He's not talking about, shall we continue to commit individual sin? He's talking about the reign of sin. Shall we continue under the reign of sin and death? Absolutely not, because we're no longer under the law. And the sin and death was a product of being under the law. You can't continue in sin and death if you're no longer under the law. Thank you, Jesus, that we're no longer under the law. Hallelujah, that you have removed the law. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. So later on in verse 6, or in chapter 6, verses 12 through 13, and these scriptures will throw more cold water on if you don't know what they mean. And everybody's quiet because they're like, man, that doesn't sound like grace. That doesn't sound like grace, Craig. Verse 12 says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. So the first thing you have to establish before you think about how you prevent sin from reigning in your mortal body is you got to determine what caused sin to reign to begin with. You must determine what caused sin to reign to begin with. Once you determine what caused sin to reign to begin with, then you know how to keep sin from reigning in your life, right? Does everybody see that? So what caused sin to reign? Moreover, the law entered that sin might abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death. The law is what caused sin to reign in our mortal bodies. The law is what caused sin to reign in our mortal bodies. So if we want to prevent sin from reigning in our mortal bodies, then we take ourselves out from being under the law. That's what he's saying here. If you want to prevent sin from reigning in your mortal bodies, don't subject yourself to the law anymore. Because the law is what caused sin to reign. Does everybody see this? He does not say, let not sin reign in your mortal body through your strength, through your effort, through your works. You have to determine what causes the sin to reign. Does everybody see that the law is what caused the sin to reign? So if I don't want sin to reign, I remove the law. If I don't want sin to reign, I remove the law. That's what you do to prevent sin from reigning. Praise God. And that just sounds so radical and backwards to people, man, who want to preach these scriptures. But something you notice is you don't see a lot of these scriptures being preached in church because they don't know what to make of them. And if they do preach them, they just use them to condemn you and tell you, don't sin. You must resist sin unto blood. That's what they try and preach to you. That's what they try and tell you to do. But the way that you let sin not reign in your mortal body is that you don't present yourself to be a subject of the law. You don't put yourself under the law. That's how you let not sin reign in your mortal body. And you know what is the bad part? Is we've got doctrine that's being preached that uses the law to tell us not to let sin reign. And what do you think will be the result of using the law to tell us not to let sin reign? It's going to cause sin to abound. Because that's the very thing that makes sin reign. Praise God. And look what he says. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. This word neither is connecting it to letting not sin reign. And what Paul's doing here, he's comparing the two kingdoms again. He's comparing yielding yourself to the law and yielding yourself to grace. Okay, so look what he says. Don't let sin reign in your body. How do you prevent sin from reigning in your body? You don't present yourself to the law. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of righteousness unto sin. How do you prevent yourself from yielding your members to sin? You don't subject yourself to the law. Man, is everybody getting this? Is this sinking in? I know this sounds backwards from what we've been taught, but that's what this is saying here. Let not sin reign in your body, neither yield ye your instruments to unrighteousness. And the way you do that is by removing yourself from the law, because the law is what caused sin to reign. The law is what caused you to present your members unto unrighteousness, unto sin. It's the law that causes us to do that. That's what he's preaching. And then we sit around toiling and trying to work to get the sin out of our life. And we're using the very thing that causes sin to reign. And we wonder why sin's reigning. We wonder why sin's reigning in the church. We wonder why sin's reigning. We wonder why sin and death is manifesting more than the fruits of righteousness and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Because under the reign of grace, the fruits of righteousness manifest. Under the reign of grace, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit comes forth. Under the reign of law, you can try to do things as right as you want to, but you'll never be able to do it right because you're under the reign of something that can only produce sin and death. You cannot produce the fruits of righteousness and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit if you're under the reign of something that can only produce sin and death. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about the fruit you can bring forth. You can't bring forth the fruit of righteousness and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit if you're not under the reign that produces that fruit. And we wonder why we don't see the manifestation of the fruit. It's because we're living under the reign of something that can only produce sin and death. And you know, when we fall back into this trap of, I don't see the fruits of righteousness, I don't see the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, we're going back under the reign of law. And then what do you think is going to be produced? Sin and death. That's what happens. Boy, it's a nasty trick that goes on with these scriptures when you don't know the context. But you've got to study the context. Sin reigned because of the law. It was the law that gave sin power over us. So if you want sin to not have power and to not reign, remove the law. That's what Jesus came to do. You know, under the reign of grace, Jesus says, come unto me, get out from underneath the law, and come unto me. That's what Jesus says under the reign of grace. Under the reign of grace, we don't meditate on our works. We meditate on what Jesus did. And as our hearts become persuaded to the fullness of what Jesus did on the cross, then the fruits of righteousness will start manifesting in our lives automatically. Then the Holy Spirit will start manifesting in our lives automatically. That's the reign of grace. You see, grace brings forth the fruit that we want. And the devil wants us to be under the reign of sin and death. He wants us to be under the law so that sin and death can reign. If you're experiencing the fruit of sin and death, it's because there's some part of you that is still under the law. And we're all in different phases of removing ourselves from the law. Praise God. I've been studying grace for a long time, and just after I got here, I found myself analyzing the fruits of righteousness in my life. I found myself analyzing the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in my life. And you know what God kept telling me? And it's a sports term. He kept telling me, you're experiencing paralysis by analysis. And he kept telling me, you're paralyzing yourself by analyzing yourself. The more you analyze yourself, the more you will paralyze yourself. The more you analyze why you're not receiving the fruits of righteousness, why you don't see them manifesting in your life, that's the more you're paralyzing them. The more you analyze why you don't see a greater manifestation of the Holy Spirit in your life, you're paralyzing them. Praise God. The manifestation comes from hearing the gospel, the true gospel. And as our hearts are persuaded to what the true gospel says, that brings forth the manifestation of the fruits of righteousness and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. And it's an effortless thing, guys. It's an effortless thing. You know, the law wants us to meditate on our works. The law wants us to meditate on the fruits in our life. That's what the law wants. Because when we fall under the reign of the law, we're like Paul. And we say, the good that I want to do, I'm unable to do. Under the reign of the law, Paul says, that which I don't want to do, I do. Because I'm under the reign of something that can only produce sin and death. That's what Paul was talking about in Romans 7. When he said, the good that I want to do, I can't do. That's what he's talking about. He's saying, under the reign of law, I cannot do those things because the law can only bring forth sin and death. Praise God. Guys, the awesome thing is the things that we want, the manifestation of the fruits of the Spirit, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, the things that we want in our lives, they're easy. And we don't work to get them. All we do is remove ourselves from the reign of law and subject ourselves to the reign of grace. That's what we do. You know, if you're struggling with something, don't meditate on what you're struggling with. That's the law. That's only going to reproduce the thing you're struggling with. If you're struggling with something, meditate on the fullness of God. Keep hearing the truth about the gospel. And I mean the true gospel. Keep hearing the true gospel. And the more you hear the true gospel, the more your heart will be persuaded to what Christ has done on the cross. And then the fruits just come flying forward. And you start wondering, where did all this fruit come from? How did this get here? How did this get here? What happened? That's how the fruits of righteousness come, guys. They don't come by us thinking about them. And in fact, what really happens is you look around and you say, how did I get here? This is not my house. You guys ever heard that song? This is not my beautiful wife. You guys, how did I get here? Has anybody ever heard that song? It's funny. That's what will happen with the fruits of righteousness. You'll look around and you'll say to yourself, this is not, how did I get here? That's what will happen with the manifestation of the Holy Spirit when you're under the reign of grace. You don't know how you got there. All of a sudden, you're there. And it is flowing. And you're thinking, hallelujah. And you know what started happening? These fruits of righteousness and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit were just flowing out of my life before I moved here. And I started thinking, man, I've never felt anything like this. And the second I got here and I started seeing what I was doing and I started thinking about what was going on, you know what started happening? I started meditating on the fruits of righteousness. And I started thinking, I have to do this. I have to do that. I am not this. I must become. And I became paralyzed. You know, and over the last 2 weeks, as I began meditating on these verses, I became so free. I was so free on the way to church this morning that I was just yelling out of the window. And I was this uncontrollable emotion and joy pouring out of me. That's the fruits of righteousness. I could feel the healing power of God manifesting in my life. I could feel the healing power of God manifesting in my heart because my heart had just become a little more persuaded of the truth about the gospel this morning. You could feel it when it happens. Guys, Christianity is not about rules and regulations. Christianity is not about trying to imitate Christ. It's about hearing the truth of the gospel and letting our hearts be persuaded to the fullness of what Christ did on the cross. That's what Christianity is about. It's about hearing the true gospel. And as we hear it, our hearts become persuaded. That's Christianity, guys. It's not trying to imitate Christ. It's not trying to imitate Christ. It's hearing the truth about what he did and allowing our hearts to be persuaded. That's the truth about the gospel. Glory to God. That's why the devil can't stand the true gospel being preached. That's why he's done everything he can to pervert the gospel of grace. Because he knows that's what produces the fruit of righteousness. That's what produces the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Glory to God. And it will set you free as you get a hold of this. So the way that we don't let sin reign is to remove ourselves from the law and the commandments. That's how sin won't reign. The way we don't yield ourselves, our members, to as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin is to remove ourselves from the law. Do you know the way you yield yourself to God is to present yourself to his grace? The way you yield yourself to God is to subject yourself to the grace of God. That's how you yield yourself to God. It's not through your performance or your works. That's how you yield to God. You accept his grace. You subject yourself to his grace. That's how you yield to God. And you know what happens is you become a servant to righteousness. And I don't mean you become a servant to do. I mean you become a servant to righteousness. The fruits of righteousness just start manifesting all over the place. And you don't know what's going on. You become like a person who doesn't know, where did this come from? Hey, guys, it's an awesome thing when you wake up one day and you think, where did this come from? How did this happen? I feel it, though, in me. I feel the life of God flowing in my veins because I am removing myself from the law. I am no longer subjecting myself to the reign of the law. I am subjecting myself to the reign of grace. And the more my heart becomes persuaded of the true gospel, the more it's happening. So guys, if you want to know, how do I get the fruits of righteousness to manifest in my life? How do I get the Holy Spirit to manifest more in my life? Keep removing yourself from the law and keep subjecting yourself to grace. Don't think about the fruits. Meditate on the grace. Don't think about the fruits. Keep hearing the truth about the gospel. Keep filling your heart with the truth about the gospel. And as your heart is persuaded, then the fruit will come. Glory to God. And you know, it makes me laugh whenever I hear people say that grace is a license to sin. You know, that statement is so hilarious because Paul just clearly explained that the law is a license to sin. He clearly explained that the law is what causes sin, not grace. And in fact, grace causes righteousness. So it makes me laugh to a certain degree when I hear people say that grace is a license to sin, because they don't understand the gospel at all. They have no clue what the gospel is really saying. The gospel is the gospel of grace. And so this is not a new question. You know, sometimes when they say that, whenever I hear somebody say that who fancies themselves a theologian, they think it's a new question. Oh, grace is the license to sin. Grace brings forth sin. They act like that's some new thing that they just thought up. And no one's ever heard that before. Praise God. That's what they act like. You know, they think they got you. It's like the stump card, right? It's like their get out of jail free card. Bam! Grace brings forth sin. And they hit you with it, and you're like, have you read the Bible? Praise God. Paul asked the same question back in the day. And look what he says. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Shall we sin because we are no longer under the law, but under grace? Look what he says. Certainly not. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Look what he's saying here. Notice in verse 15, he's got sin and grace, sin and grace, the law and grace, the law and grace. So we drop down here. He says, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? Certainly not. Don't you know that whatever system you yield yourself to, that's the fruit that will be produced by that system? He's saying that the law produces sin. So if you yield yourself servants to the law, you are servants to sin. If you yield yourself to the law, you are servants to sin. His answer to the question is, certainly not. You won't sin because you're under grace, because when you subject yourself to grace, you become a servant of righteousness. Obedience, whether of sin unto death. See how he connects sin and unto death to the law? He mentions the law first and grace first. What does he mention? Or he mentions the law before he mentions grace. What does he say here? Sin unto death, and then obedience unto righteousness. He's telling you what produces the sin. So if you yield yourself to the law, then you become a servant of sin unto death. If you yield yourself unto grace, then you become obedient unto righteousness. Notice what he calls yielding yourself to grace. I love it. He calls it obedience. He calls it obedience to yield yourselves unto grace, guys. That's what obedience is, yielding yourself to grace. That's obedience, yielding yourself to grace. This whole question that we'll sin if we're under grace and not under the law, he says it's insanity because you are going to produce what you yield yourself to, and the law is what produces sin. So how would you sin if you're under grace? How would you sin if you're under grace? You can't. Because grace doesn't produce the sin. You can't be under sin if you're under grace. It's not possible. Don't you know that who you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey? Whether unto the law, you're servants of sin, or unto grace, you're servants of righteousness. That's what he's saying. It's not possible to sin, to be sinning if you're under grace, because you're no longer a servant to the law. You've removed yourself from the reign, the system that causes sin to abound. Verse 17 says, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. And then he seals it right here. He says, God be thanked, you were the servants of sin because you were under the law. But now you're no longer the servants to sin because you have obeyed that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. What was the form of doctrine that was delivered to them? The gospel of grace. The gospel of grace is what delivers you from being a servant to sin, not law. So this concept that grace is a license to sin contradicts everything that Paul just said in these scriptures. It contradicts everything. It's grace that actually removes us from the sin. It's the law that keeps us in sin. And you know, you have these people that talk about cheap grace, and they call it cheap grace. You're just a cheap grace preacher. And Helen's just reminded me that somebody told her that it's greasy grace. It's greasy grace. It's cheap grace. And you know what they're really saying? Is they're saying that what Jesus did on the cross is cheap. They're saying that the blood of Jesus is cheap when they call it cheap grace. They're saying what he did when he shed his blood and stretched out forth his arms on the cross is cheap. Because they're calling what he did cheap. That's what they're saying when they call the grace message cheap grace. You know, and I love something that Bertie Britz said and something I was listening to the other day. You know, he said, you know, if you call grace a license to sin, he says, okay, you're saying that Jesus came for a license to sin and truth. Because it says that Moses gave the law, but grace and truth came by Jesus. So what you're saying when you say that grace is a license to sin is that Moses gave the law and a license to sin and truth came by Jesus. Does everybody hear how ridiculous that sounds? Does everybody hear how ridiculous that sounds? The license to sin is the law. The reign of the law produces the fruit of sin unto death. The reign of grace is what produces the fruit of righteousness and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, before the law was moved out the way, the Holy Spirit could not live inside of us. The law prevented the Holy Spirit from living inside of us. Just as that happened, just as in the Old Testament, that the law prevented the Holy Spirit from living inside of us, if we subject ourselves to the law, it can act as a counteracting agent against the fruits of righteousness and against the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. The law, you put the law over people and you're quenching the Spirit. You're quenching the Spirit because the very thing that produces the Spirit is grace. The very thing that produces the Spirit is grace. And if you bring in the law, you're quenching the Spirit. Guys, a law mentality is what is keeping the fruits from manifesting in your life. And, you know, some of the symptoms are those very things. If you feel discouraged, if you feel condemned because you don't think you see the fruits in your life, it's an indication that there's part of your thinking that's under the law. It's an indication that there's some disconnect between the grace. Doesn't mean that you've rejected Jesus for your salvation. It just means that somewhere along the line, your thinking has gotten squirrely a little bit. You've gotten a little bit squirrely in your thinking. And that's where I was 3 or 4 months ago. I'd gotten a little bit squirrely in my thinking. And I started analyzing the fruit. Why don't I see the fruit? Why don't I see this fruit anymore? What happened to the fruit that was in my life? What happened to the Holy Spirit that was pouring out of my life? What happened to it? You see, I had put myself squarely under the law. In Romans chapter 7, Paul breaks down this whole picture perfectly. And he breaks it down, the fruit of the law and the fruit of grace. And he compares it to a marriage. And he tells us that we were married to law before Christ came. And we were married unto law. We brought forth fruit unto sin and death. What he's saying is that our marriage to the law could only produce sin and death. That was the offspring of our marriage to the law. It was sin and death. You know, in the Old Testament, you could have more than one wife. And the children or the fruit that you would have with one wife would be completely different than the children or the fruit you would have with another wife. The two kids, sets of kids, would not be the same. They would be completely different. And that's the picture Paul's painting. When we are married to the law, the fruit that came from the law was always sin and death. the offspring that comes from being married to the law is always sin and death. But when we're married to Christ, he says in Romans 7:4 that we are dead to the law, that we could be married unto another, even Christ Jesus, that our fruits could now be unto righteousness and life, eternal life. So we were married to the law, and we produced offspring that were sin and death. But now we're married to grace, and the fruit that comes from our marriage to grace is fruits of righteousness and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit and the manifestation of God's life in us. That's what comes from our marriage to grace. Well, who do you want to be married to? Do you want to be married to Mr. Law? You don't want to be married to Mr. Law anymore. And that's one of the disconnects we have. We're trying to be married to the law. We're trying to be married to the system that says, you are not, you must become. And that only will produce sin and death. It will only produce sin and death. You know, the more I started thinking, I am not this, I must become, the more I started thinking that, the more I started meditating on that, because I didn't see the fruits of righteousness, I didn't see the Holy Spirit manifesting like he was. I was still seeing some fruit. I was still seeing some manifestation. But the moment I started thinking, I am not, I must become, man, I started feeling pressed beyond measure. I started feeling almost the blood going to trickle out of my skin. I could feel my feet throbbing, you see? And the reason why is because I had put myself back under the law. And now the fruits of the law, which is condemnation. You know what comes after condemnation? Discouragement. Do you know what comes after that? Frustration. And you experience all of them real quick. And it's all a symptom of finding yourself under the law because you're meditating on the fruits that you think you don't see. And this happens to all of us, guys. It happens to all of us. And it's a very subtle trap because we know the truth. We're not going to say, well, I'm going back to the law to be accepted by Christ. We're never going to do that, are we? But now, if we go back to the law because we don't see the fruits of righteousness, we don't see the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, we're left feeling condemnation. Then we feel separated from our God. We feel like nothing works. We don't feel like we're receiving love from God. And then what happens? Can that love flow out of us? No. Love is a fruit of the Spirit. It's not something you generate. If you think you're lacking love, it's not because you don't love people. It's because the fruit is not manifesting. That's why. Praise God. And so, what causes the fruit to manifest in our life? It's subjecting ourselves to grace. That's what causes the fruit to manifest in our life. And Colossians chapter 1, verses 6 and 7 says it pretty bluntly. Colossians chapter 1, verses 6 and 7 says, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, talking about the gospel, and bringeth forth fruit as it does also in you, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. And I put one of the wrong verses up here, so I'm just going to read it. It's Colossians chapter 1, verse 5. And verse 6, not verse 6 and 7. Chapter 1, verse 5 says, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye have heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God. Guys, the gospel is what brings forth the fruit. And I love what he says at the end right there. He says, since you knew the grace of God in truth. What does that tell you? That there can be a false teaching about the grace of God. What do you think some of those false teachings are? That grace is a license to sin? That grace is causing sin in people's lives? What do you think some of the false teachings about the gospel of grace are? That we must have balance? That we must mix law and grace? Yes, grace is good, but we just must add this. Those are some of the things that pervert the grace of God and keep us from hearing the grace of God in truth. And you want to know why the fruits of righteousness and the Holy Spirit isn't manifesting in the church as a whole more? It's because they're not hearing about the gospel of the grace of God in truth. They're only hearing a little piece of it. They're hearing, oh yes, Jesus died on the cross for you, but now you must do this. You must become like Christ. You must imitate Christ through your behavior. Then the fruit will come. You see how they tell you to go to the law for the fruit? But the law can't produce God's kind of fruit. The law can only produce sin and death. That's all it can produce, guys. It can't produce. So what is the gospel? I mean, what causes us to hear? And the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Well, what is the word of Christ? The word of Christ is forsake your works and get a revelation of the work that I have done to make you like me. That was the words of Christ. Hear my word and let your hearts be persuaded to the fullness of what I have already done, and then watch the manifestation of the fruits of the Spirit flow effortlessly. You know, when we were under the law, did we toil to bring forth sin? Has anybody ever had to work to bring forth sin? Has anybody ever struggled to get some sin going in their life? I mean, do you remember thinking in your room, boy, I just got to bring forth some more sin. How can I get some more sin to manifest in my life? So if you don't work for the fruit that's produced under the system of law, why would we work for the fruit that's produced under the system of grace? It's ridiculous. It's as if we think this system of law, it's easier to produce that fruit than it is to produce the fruit of grace. If we didn't work to bring forth sin when we're under the law, then you don't toil and work to bring forth the fruits of righteousness or the manifestation of the Holy Spirit when you're now under grace. Does everybody see the flip side of that? It's like we got this mentality that we have to work to get the fruits of the grace of God to manifest. And then if we don't see it manifest, we feel condemned. And we immediately start thinking, what's wrong with me? That's what I was thinking. What's wrong with me? How am I missing it? God's mighty man of grace. How am I under the law? You know, that's what the devil comes in and tells you, because he wants you to shut up. He wanted me to shut up. He wanted me to think that I was missing it. How are you under the law? You know, and the devil always overplays his hand. So if you think you're in the middle of something right now that really stinks, you can just thank God that the devil always overplays his hand, because this thing that you think is bearing down on you, it's going to turn into one of the greatest revelations that you will ever have, and you will be more free than you ever were before. And that's how I am now. You know, I was free before I came here, but the last couple days, I just started thinking, man, how could I be more free than I was before I left? And it was because the devil thought that he had got me to put myself back under the law. You know, all God did was show me another truth and principle about how we find ourselves back under the law. All God did was turn this into a revelation. And it's been blessing me the whole time studying it. Which is coming to you and bringeth forth fruit, as it does also in you since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. Guys, you're not trying to become. All you want to do is hear the true gospel. And then as you hear the true gospel, watch as your heart is persuaded more and more and more. That's how the fruit comes. That's what brings fruit to pass. If you're hearing a mixture of messages, guys, you're a grown person. You can do whatever you want. But I'm telling you, you're letting the mixed messages act as a counter agent to the manifestation of the fruit that you want. You're letting the mixed messages counteract and negate the truth that is in the gospel of grace, in the grace of God. That's what happens when you hear mixed messages. You know, a long time ago, God ripped this concept out of me that I will listen to mixed messages. And I will not. I refuse to listen to teaching that is not 100% grace, because it's not smart. You know, if you listen to it for long enough, you'll start believing it. You will start believing it. You will. If you listen to a message that isn't the true gospel of grace, you'll start believing it. Because the more you hear any message, your heart becomes persuaded to that message. Faith comes by hearing. Guess what? Unbelief comes by hearing also. The more you hear the wrong message, the more the unbelief comes alive in you. That's what happens. Praise God. And so, all right, Greg, that sounds great, but I don't see the fruit that I want to see in my life. I don't see the manifestation of the fruits of righteousness in my life that I want to see. I don't see the manifestation of the Holy Spirit that I want to see. And I've been hearing the gospel. I've been hearing it. So what's the deal? And you see, that very mindset gets you back into toiling to produce the fruit, because you're meditating and analyzing the fruit that you have and you think you don't have. And the Bible talks about this. The Bible's so good. This is one of my favorite parables, and it's so deep. But in Mark chapter 4, verses 26 through 28, it talks about the kingdom of God. And this is after the parable of the sower sowing the seed. And Mark chapter 4, verse 26 says, "And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear." And here we have a picture of how fruit is produced in all of our life. It tells us exactly how the fruit is produced in our life. So he says, the kingdom of God is as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and he should sleep and rise night and day. This term, sleep and rise night and day, it's a Hebrewism. It does not mean literally one day. It does not mean only 24 hours. It means a period of time. So what it's saying is, this guy planted seed into the ground, and then a period of time has gone by. Well, we know that the sower sowed the seed, and the sower was Jesus. What was Jesus sowing? The word of grace. He was sowing the gospel. So the seed this guy planted, he's a guy who has planted the seed of the gospel of grace by hearing the truth about the gospel of grace. So he's someone who has planted the seed. And he, look what it says, a period of time goes by and nothing happened during that period of time. He didn't think that he saw any fruit. He didn't think that he saw any fruits of righteousness. He didn't think that he saw a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. You know, when you plant a seed in deep ground, in healthy soil, the roots grow down before they grow up. The roots take hold down before anything shows up above the ground. And when you hear the gospel of grace, do you know what it is? It's the seed that Jesus has planted in your heart. And what happens is your heart becomes established. The roots grow down. And your heart becomes established as you become more persuaded about what the fullness of what Jesus did on the cross is. As your heart becomes more persuaded, the roots become more established. When the roots become established, you come outside and you see something that has sprung up. And what does it say? He knows not how. He knows not how it sprung up. He doesn't know how the fruit started producing. Doesn't that contradict the mindset that we must figure out how to produce the fruit? That we must figure out how the Holy Spirit can manifest? It contradicts that. And look what he says. Look what it says about the fruit. And then the earth bringeth forth fruit after the root has been established. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn. Guys, do you see how the fruit manifests? It manifests like a plant that grows. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn. The kingdom of God is not analyzing and judging the fruit you see in your life. It's hearing the true gospel and allowing your heart to be persuaded by the seed of the gospel and then letting that grow out of your heart. The kingdom of God is not analyzing the fruits of righteousness you want to see that you don't think you see. It's not analyzing the manifestation of the Holy Spirit that you think you don't see that you want to see. It's hearing. That's the kingdom of God. Don't go to the place where you're thinking about the fruit or the manifestation, because you're one step from being under the law. That's what happens. Look how the fruit's produced. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn. Guys, there's some of you in here right now. I just feel the Holy Spirit saying, there's some of you in here right now that think you've been hearing the gospel and you're wondering where the fruit is and you think you haven't seen any fruit, but you have seen some fruit and the fruit is producing and your heart is becoming persuaded to the gospel of grace right now. And I just feel the Holy Spirit saying right now that the full corn is coming. Don't think about the fruit. Just keep hearing about me and keep letting your heart be persuaded by the gospel of grace. And the fruit will come. Don't meditate on the fruit. Meditate on the root. It's a symptom. It's a human symptom, guys, that we want to meditate on the fruit instead of the root. And I'm guilty of that. So pray for me. But hey, praise God. You know what? He just delivered me out of it. And he just delivered me out of it by showing me this, by showing me the track of the fruit, by showing me the system of I am not, I must become. He showed me clearly how I put myself under that. And what happens is we start saying is, I do not have the fruits of righteousness enough. I must get them. I do not have the Holy Spirit manifesting in my life the way I should. I must get them. I can pray more. I can read the Bible more. I can give more. I can do more for the church. And then surely the fruits will produce, won't they? And then surely the manifestation will come, won't they? No, because that's the reign of the law. And the law cannot produce the fruits that you seek in your life. Seek grace. Seek grace. Seek the gospel of grace. Seek to hear the gospel of grace around every corner that you can. Seek people who are preaching the gospel of grace and seek to hear their message. There are awesome, mighty men and women of God right now traveling the earth, preaching the true gospel of grace, and seek to hear what they're saying, because every time you hear, your heart has just become a little more persuaded. Your heart has just become a little more established in the gospel of grace. And then your root has just become stronger. You know, the stronger a root gets, the more powerful the growth from outside of the ground. The stronger your root is in the gospel of grace, the stronger the fruit that's going to come producing out of that ground. And the awesome thing is you get stronger only by hearing. You get stronger only by hearing. Just hear. Just keep hearing it. Don't let the devil come in and tell you, yeah, you've heard, but you don't see anything. You heard, but you don't see anything. That's the message of Satan. That's the message of you have not, you are not, you must become. Reject the tree of the knowledge of good and evil around every corner that it comes. You know, right now, what we've been doing, God showed me this. We're planting the gospel of grace in this state is what we're doing. That's what we're doing right now. We're planting the gospel of grace. And you know what? The roots are getting stronger. They're getting fuller because we're feeding them with Christ. We're feeding them with Christ. And the roots are getting big and fat and strong. And you know when that fruit starts piling full over the ground, do you know what the tree's going to look like? Everybody's going to come flocking to the tree. Glory to God. Everybody comes flocking to the tree. When you see the gospel of grace and truth, you can't help but flock to it. You can't help but want to come to it. When you see Jesus, you think if you see Jesus, you don't want to go to him? When you see Jesus, are you going to say, well, I prefer that law? I prefer that law because I've been taught that Christianity is about rules and regulations. Christ says Christianity is about hearing the true gospel and allowing your heart to be persuaded to the fullness of what I did on the cross. That's Christianity, guys. That's the only reason we should be coming to church, so that our hearts can be more persuaded to the fullness of what Christ has done. That's why we come to church. Praise God. When you guys come to a church, any church that's preaching the gospel of grace, that's what's happening. When you go online, listening to people who preach the gospel of grace, that's what's happening. If you don't think you know enough people you can listen to, come see me. I know plenty of people around the earth right now who are preaching a pure, pure gospel. A pure gospel. The kind of gospel that will break shackles off of people. The kind of gospel that will set people's hearts free. The kind of gospel that will manifest the fruits of righteousness in the Holy Spirit out of the church. There's a lot of people doing it, guys. God is raising it up right now. He is raising it up right now. You know, his church, the church he sent Jesus to start, the church that Jesus is going to be the rock of, the roots are taking shape right now, and they're getting big and fat and strong. And you know what? The fruit is coming out of the ground, and it's spreading, and it's spreading. And do you know what they're going to call it? The tree of life. It's going to be called the tree of life, not the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that the gospel of grace is getting rooted in our hearts. Thank you, Lord, that your word is what persuades our heart, that we don't persuade our hearts ourselves. Thank you, Lord, that you've made it so easy that all we do is hear about the fullness of what you've done and our hearts are persuaded. Thank you, Jesus, for a system of grace. Thank you, Jesus, for a reign of grace in our lives and not law. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen.